May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You can be seated. I was reading the gospel here. These things were just flying through my mind about how I could have rewritten today's homily. And when the Book of Common Prayer was written by Cranmer and his associates back in 1549-ish, I've written in articles and seminary work that I really consider it one of the greatest books ever put together, next to the Holy Gospel of the Old Testament, New Testament. If you really look over the Book of Common Prayer and study, it's just a fascinating book. And I bring that up to make a point that, you know, as they were putting the book together and also looking at the different times of the year, the feast days and the saints' days and all the different times that the church has celebrations, you know, if you look at where we are now, there wasn't a Mother's Day then. There wasn't a Father's Day then. So, you know, when we look over the lectionary, we think, well, why does this, you know, epistle and gospel not relate to being Mother's Day or Father's Day or some other, you know, celebrated day? Well, again, the reason being is that there was those days not then. But we're still kind of linked to that lectionary, and we pretty much have to stick to it, which I'm sort of a traditionalist, so I'm going to stick to it. So you won't hear much in here about Mother's Day, except for the fact that I'm going to say a little bit at the beginning of the homily and reference, remind everyone that we are still in the season of Easter. And it's that additional 40 days that Christ returned after defeating Satan and sin and hell and came to live again among his disciples and to continue his teaching until he went to be with his Father in heaven. And what I want to remind you is, if you recall, on that cross, he looked down in all that agony and all that pain, and he looked down at the four people that he knew. That was the apostle that he loved, John, and that was three women: his mother Mary, his sister Mary, or sister-in-law Mary, and Mary Magdalene. So three women, all named Mary, and John at the foot of the cross. Down in all that incredible pain, and actually the gospel lesson refers to that pain. I'll get to here, a woman in great travail. But he looks down, and he's, you know, it's the message of mother and motherhood where it belongs. In his most agonizing moment, what is at the forefront of his mind, his Heavenly Father? His mother, in his greatest travail. And I'll come back to that just in a minute. So, looking at today's gospel, it has both a present and future meaning. In John 16, Jesus says, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and a little while, and ye shall see me." I remember when I was studying over in Oxford a couple of years ago, they asked me the question, the professor — they're not called professors, they're called tutors — the tutor asked the class, he said, of all the words that Joseph spoke in the New Testament, Joseph being Jesus' mother, or father, how many words did he say? And y'all know what my answer was? You know. My answer was, very little. I said very little because what went through my mind was, I need a hedge on this a little bit. I'm not quite sure. I'm absolutely not quite sure. Now, I did know there are no words that are recorded of Joseph. But I wasn't going to stand up in class and say there are no words, because I didn't want to get shot down. So I was trying to save a little bit of, you know, of my pride and among these other students. But the reason I brought that out is, here Jesus says, a little while. He's not hedging, though. You know, I might have been hedging, but Jesus does not hedge. Here he is identifying himself as a member of the Trinity. In Romans 8:9 we read, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let me just make a note here. It says, but the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. Think about that for a minute. In this passage, Jesus is preparing His disciples for His ascension by telling them that He will soon be leaving to be with His Heavenly Father. This is significant because it is the first time that Christ tells His disciples that He is part of a Trinity. The Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. This reveals the complexity of man also as an integral part of God's creation. It also underscores how we are all interconnected with each other and the world in which we live. Englishman John Donne, in his Devotions Upon Emergent Occasions, Meditation 17, wrote, "No man is an island entirely of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent." Along the same thing we read in Genesis chapter 1, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God He created them, male and female He created them." This image is passed from generation to generation, as we read in Genesis 5:3, when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Therefore, when we look into the mirror, are we not looking into the face of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? Yet that our eyes are the gateway to our very souls. Through our eyes, we are able to read another person's spirit. In other words, if we listen to our inner ear, we hear a little voice that will tell us whether we're in the presence of good or evil. When we meet a righteous person, we are drawn to them. Yet, if we meet an unrighteous person, then our warning signs go up. Another way to look at the image of man is to apply the principle of metaphysics. The Trinity is made up of God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And metaphysically, man's Trinity is made up of the body, the mind, and spirit. You might want to even consider our flesh, how it's made up of three layers, the epidermal, the mesodermal, and the endoderm. All three examples reveal how we are interconnected as God's creation and one in His Spirit. The future meaning of today's passage begins with verse 16 in St. John, which reads, "Very verily, 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 I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy." Here Christ is telling His disciples that His crucifixion, which the world rejoiced and the faithful lamented, is the very event that will eventually lead to the world's sorrow. And on Mother's Day, I'm reminded of one of my mother's quotes, "The darkest moment is just before the dawn." In verse 21 we read, "A woman, when she is travailed, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, when she gives birth, she remembers no more her anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." And make no mistake, when I mention looking into the mirror, I'm not likening us on the level of God. I'm addressing the term of the image of God. Soon the disciples will realize that the impact of Christ's sacrifice for all mankind and His defeat of death and sin, that God gave the gift of salvation paid with the blood of the Lamb. The world and God's relationship with man will never be the same again. A new covenant was born between God and His creation, and God provided a way to reconcile His love for man through His Son. And when Adam sinned and was cast out of the Garden of Eden, God's relationship with man was broken. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, did not sin and overcame evil and restored man's relationship with God the Father. The new covenant allows man an opportunity, if he repents and accepts Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, to gain entrance into heaven. Christ, the way, is the only gate to heaven. Now a new heaven and a new earth will be forged according to God's will. And in Timothy Keller's book, King's Cross, which I was just recently finished reading, he was talking about comparative religions, and we've all had those, you know, comparative religion classes, and he noted that, going back to Christ being the way, that every other religion, whether it's Muslim, Buddhist, or otherwise, talks about a way to paradise or a way to nirvana. But the way to heaven is by one man, and that is Jesus Christ. He's not a way to heaven. He is the way. In John 14, two chapters earlier, we read, "Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does these works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Christ is telling us that as a member of the Holy Trinity, the Father and the Son will also dwell in us along with the Holy Spirit. "For I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you," he says. As a final instruction in verse 14 of St. John, in chapter 14, verse 15 through 18, we read, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, and that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And later we read, "When the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we become empowered. For whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified through the Son. So if you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Lastly, come Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In John 14 again we read, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And at that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit."